no role plays, just real. Chris and Lorenzo share four decades of combined experience to help you become a more effective leader.
We've never really, as a workforce, spent a lot of time on making sure we're developing good leaders.
We'll be able to share stories, experience, mistakes, failures, successes.
This is Hacking Your Leadership.
Welcome to Hacking Your Leadership. I'm Chris.
And I'm Lorenzo.
And Lorenzo, on this episode, I want to talk about something that I started thinking about because of a post that I saw on LinkedIn. And the post was cool. It was a story called Sorry I'm Late, Life Just Happened. And it was a kind of a touching story about a woman who was on her way to work and her daughter's school called, and she kind of had to make a quick change of plans and kind of cancel her day to go spend time with her daughter who needed some, you know, mommy time. And about how her organization reacted to that in a very positive way and kind of helped her clear the schedule so that she could go do that. And it was posted from the standpoint of, you know, have empathy for your employees, real life matters most, that kind of stuff. And I love that. I love posts like this. I love that we're seeing more and more of them, because those things kind of change the cultural zeitgeist that we have around this. They're becoming less the exception and more the rule. I think organizations are reacting in a more positive way now than they would have to the exact same story 10 years ago or maybe even 2 years ago. But it got me thinking about broader implications around how you get a culture like this, number one, and number two, why this matters more than larger cultural changes that you can try to implement from a broader leadership standpoint. So things you could do from a cultural team building, or even raising pay and compensation, and having a policy around better work-life balance, these kind of policy things. And while they're not unimportant, for some reason they don't get posted about on LinkedIn like these individual stories do. And that got me thinking about why these little things are important. What do you think about this?
Yeah, I agree. I mean, I think that most people's connection and, you know, a kind of sharing of appreciation and gratitude typically, you know, is when it's things that are specific to them and situations that they've been within. Because it's one of those things where people can be like I think if people can be appreciative that we have, like, you know, benefits of certain organizations or things that certain people, like certain organizations and companies do and things like that, but not until you use it. Like, you use the benefit, and now all of a sudden you have a great story to tell where it's like, oh my, like, I can't believe that we have this. And if you've never used this benefit, I suggest that everybody use this benefit. Like, I just think that the personalization of how people feel, and specifically in leadership, how leaders show up for their people, kind of in the nuances and the everyday stuff, is far more valuable in most cases than, you know, just a policy or a procedure.
Yeah, I think you're right. It's too removed from you until it impacts you, or at least impacts somebody you care about, right? I think that can do the same thing. Probably not as impactful as you yourself, but you have to feel some sort of connection to it. I'm reminded of there's a video that trended maybe 4 or 5 years ago now of Simon Sinek talking about millennials in the workplace and how to connect with people. And the thing that he said in there that mattered the most to me, the one that I took away, he made a comment about how in his organization, you don't bring cell phones into meeting rooms ever for any reason whatsoever. You leave it at whatever the cubicle, the office you sit at before you come to the meeting room. And he said the reason that is because relationships and trust and commitment to one another, it's not made during the work that you do. It's not made during the team building exercises. It's made in the little moments and interactions you have with people when you are waiting for a meeting to start, where someone just kind of connects with you and says something about your family, or like, hey, what's going on with this? I heard about this, and you can kind of connect on that. Even if it's for 10 or 15 seconds, those moments add up, and they add up to mean more than anything bigger or broader than that can be implemented by an organization. And that's spot on. And I think this is the exact same thing. It speaks to how no matter what an organization does from a policy standpoint, no matter what they do in terms of trying to change the culture, we talk about changing the culture of an organization all the time, and it's so important. It's as a leader to be able to do this, but it shouldn't discount the overarching importance of how the way to do that is what you do every single day in these little interactions that add up to be so much bigger than the big things. That's the old cliche. It's the little things. There's nothing bigger, right? And it's because collectively they make the biggest difference.
Yeah, it's kind of like the compound effect by Dan Hardy, and he talks about like the small unsexy things that are done every day over time. You know, become the big things, and I completely agree. Like, I think that it's a, because if you just look at policy procedure or like a theory or a value structure from an organization, there will be things like in this exact case, okay, like there's probably an attendance policy. There's probably something that talks about being to work on time, or this is your schedule shift, or whatever the case is. Then there's the company values or structure that says, like, we care about our people, right? And we want leaders that, like, so, like, it has these things that are out there that exist kind of in the world of the organization, but bringing it to life for that individual really lands on the leader of saying, like, hey, don't worry about it, right? Like, take your time, handle your thing. We've got you here. It's all good. You know, do what you got to do. Now, if this happens every single day, then there might be some additional context or conversation that needs to happen.
Right.
But again, it's a matter of, as a leader, bringing to life these elements of the organization to those that work with you or work for you. But I also believe that when leaders work best are when their personal values align with the organizational values.
Of course.
Or the organizational values. And you have the ability to make calls like this and have that type of relationships. And to your point, no. Like if you have somebody that you know over time and you know they have, you know, children, and maybe that you also have had conversations and dialogue about, you know, maybe them going to school for the first time or them having some issues at school or things like that, you kind of have more context based upon the relationship to know that there's some other things that might be going on, and that this person rarely ever asks for this level of support. So of course the answer is right away is like, go ahead and handle what you have to handle. And I think that, you know, that really is what resonates most with people, is in those moments, how you react as a leader and how you provide them with an understanding that you prioritize them, you know, more than maybe the work or more than maybe the have to be here for this meeting at exactly this time.
Yeah, you know, the last or two guest interviews ago that we posted on Hacking Your Leadership, I spoke with Johnny Taylor, the president of the Society for Human Resource Management, just a really intelligent, fantastic guy. And the most profound part of our conversation was around this exact thing, where he gave an example where he said that an employee of his at one point said that, you know, start time is at 9 o'clock, but I'm the only person who can drop off my kids at school, which means I can't even get to the office until 9:30, literally every day. And he said, okay, that's fine. Then come at 9:30. And then someone else came up to him and said, well, if they get to come at 9:30, then I get to come at 9:30 too, right? And he said, no, that's not what it means at all. And the employee said, well, why not? And he said, well, they have a kid they have to drop off at school. If there's a situation in your life that is leading you to believe you can't be here at 9 o'clock, come talk to me and we'll talk about this. But there isn't like this, because it's for one person, it's for everybody. That's called leading individually. And there's gonna be, you know, there's an equal opportunity. My door is always open for everybody. But how you get treated in the organization is going to be with equity, not with equality. And that's how he chooses to lead. And that was a very uncomfortable part of the conversation for me to even listen to, because I'm thinking about all the leaders that I know in my life who have a really difficult time with this. And to Johnny's credit, he kind of let them off the hook a little bit and said that the workforce in general is not set up to support people to do this. There are laws in place, and there are, you know, anti-discrimination things in place that say you have to treat everybody the same. And when you treat everybody the same, by definition, that's removing all personalization. That's what it is. It's saying it's a robotic, it's management, not leadership. It's implementing a policy. If you want to be a leader of people and you want to treat people with the subjectivity that we talk about and meet them where they are, that's what it means to lead with equity. And it might mean that how it looks to each person is different. And again, very uncomfortable for a lot of people to play in that space as a leader, because I think the only way to do that successfully is that you have to lead with your values. You have to be able to make sure that all of your actions every single day can be tied back to those values, because otherwise it looks like your actions are hypocritical. It looks like you're playing favorites. But if you can articulate how it ties back to your values that you articulate, verbalize every single day in your actions, but you actually say it in your words too, I think you can make that work. But it takes effort.
Yeah, no, I think it's a great call out. And like I immediately think about times, especially when you work in industries like retail, where you'll tend to have students, you know, college students that will work for you. And, you know, with college students come different, you know, schedules for pretty much every semester and days that they have to take classes, which means there's a shift in availability, which means that if somebody is working for you and they're a college student, you're probably changing the days and times they can work almost on a quarterly basis.
Yep.
It's really rare that they have exactly the same, you know, courses, exactly the same days, exact same times. So I've always had this philosophy of like, well, if that's the approach that we have because we accept that somebody's in school and we know we have to make kind of these adjustments every quarter, well, if anybody has anything going on in life and they're asking for some type of a solution from an availability or from a day and time working standpoint, then I say, well, let's talk about it and let's make sure that it meets the needs of the business. But we can kind of do this for the quarter, you know, like let's do it for the 3 months or whatever. Like I would do the same thing for a student by semester, so I should do the same thing for the individual while making sure that it meets the needs of the business. Same thing with a college student. Now, the difference might be that a college student may be part-time, which may require a little bit less from an availability standpoint,
sure,
versus a full-time person that may require a little bit more, but let's have the conversation. Let's talk about what do you need, and let's, you know, how long do you need this for, and let's go ahead and do this temporarily to see if this is going to help with the longer-term, you know, of what you're looking to take care of and get done and getting back to potentially more of an open availability or different days and that type of thing. So I think to your point, like that is a lot of the time spent as a leader making sure that it is fair and equitable, that everybody has an opportunity to have the conversation and that we look at all things considered to make the best decisions that we can make. But I also like the example that he had of like, well, just because they do doesn't mean you get.
Right.
Right. Because, but are you asking for something? You know what I mean?
Right.
Like, what are you asking for and why? Let's talk about that. Because if you're asking for something like that, then of course I'm wide open to it, but let's talk about it. And what do you need specifically for yourself that will allow you to continue to show up and do great work, but maybe more helpful in things that are going on in your personal life?
Right, because if it's only based on what someone else got, then that means that if that thing goes away, let's say all of a sudden the school starts at 8 a.m. Oh, so now I can be there at 8 a.m. Oh, great. Well, now that the start time was 9, mm-hmm. But now that person could drop their kid off at 7:45. I could be here at 8. So I'm gonna need you to be here at 8 now. Wait, what do you mean? I'd be here at 8 now. I thought it was 9 or 9:30. Wait, but you said you wanted to be here at 9:30 because Joe got to be here at 9:30. Well, now Joe's coming at 8, so I guess you get to come at 8 now too, right? You know, it works both ways. Like you, if you want your treatment to be based on what other people's circumstances are, the good comes with the bad. You know, and obviously that's not realistic. You're right. So your circumstances should be based on you and what works for you. And there's a give and take when it comes to the relationship that an employee and an employer has. Do you have a person in your life, Lorenzo, where if you were meeting them for lunch at 1 o'clock in the afternoon and they weren't there by 1:15, your immediate thought would be, oh my gosh, like what's like, there's must have been a car accident. I hope they're okay. You're texting them. You're going, this is like completely unheard of, that versus another person where if it was a 1 o'clock lunch, you wouldn't even get you there yourself until 10 after one, because you know, they're not going to be there till 1:30 anyway. Like kind of those two people.
Yeah, absolutely. Yes.
Right. What's that based on? Like why, how did you know that one of them was going to be, it must be a car accident versus someone's going to show up at 1:30. What made you know that?
Experience and previous interactions.
Right. There you go. So to think that a leader of people doesn't develop an opinion about every single person they work with based on experience and previous interactions is completely naive too. And so I think this is where a lot of leaders can have difficulty, because on the one hand, you know, you can't, you know, start throwing out accusations. You don't really need to drop your kid off at school, you know, whatever that is. You want to meet people where they are. But when doing your best to meet people where they are, there are going to be people who take advantage of the situation. And you as a leader, I think, need to understand that the price of admission for taking care of people who need it is that there are going to be people who take advantage of the system and there's nothing you can do about it. Because I know a lot of leaders who, in their efforts to make sure no one takes advantage of the system, they end up not meeting people where they need to be met for people who really need the help or really need the accommodation or whatever that is. And they look at that as being fair and equitable. It's like they're so concerned of having the wool pulled over their eyes or being duped by an employee who's just out for their own self-interest that they end up not doing what's right by their people. And I think that's such a short-sighted way of doing things. If you lead with your values and you assume positive intent from everybody, the people who are taking advantage of the situation on a long enough timeline, they'll get what's coming to them. You know, they're the ones who are going to ruin relationships, because even if you don't know really what's going on, you think their coworkers don't know. You think they're not burning bridges and killing relationships with people all over the place if that's the way they live their life. Don't concern yourself with it. Meet people where they are, take them at their word for it, hold them accountable to a standard that the organization has, and assume that they're doing right by the organization, continue to do right by them, and just trust that things will work out.
Yeah, I think it's a great point. And it's a good reminder of, like, you know, many times people think that the only relationship that matters is the one between, like, maybe like an employee and a manager when it comes to things like career progression or promotions or things like that.
Right.
And I think more and more over time, what we've seen is that actually the peer relationships matter the absolute most.
Of course.
Because, you know, which makes sense, but what used to be the I'm not going to say anything has now turned into I don't think this person should get this or deserves that, or they're like, it's changed dramatically now.
Yeah.
So, like, to your point, for everybody before who's playing the games and taking advantage of policies and procedures, and people know that what they say is not exactly what they're doing, like all those things that happen, I think now are starting to really expose people that do that in a way that I'm sure is going to limit their opportunities into the future, because it's a well-known fact. And the relationships amongst, you know, leaders and their people and conversations and dialogue and kind of a lot of the things that have happened over the last couple of years to create this space of more transparency and openness and conversation, I think is going to lead to exposing more and more people that are like that, which is then going to limit the amount of opportunities they get because of their own behaviors and because they're taking advantage of something or they're not aligned with the true values of what a team or organization is trying to get accomplished.
Yeah, I think that's perfectly said. And with that, it brings us to this episode's 1 minute hack. But first, a few words from our sponsors.
The 1 minute hack.
Okay, for this episode's 1 minute hack, here's what I'd like for you to do. Get out your pen and paper, and on one side of the piece of paper, I want you to write down the things that are like policies or procedures that are pretty clear from an organization. And these might include things like dress code, attendance, scheduling, deadlines, anything at all where it's really clear that there are expectations from the organizations of operational things and processes and policies that you need to be able to enforce as a leader and make sure there's consistency. Then the other side of the piece of paper, I want you to write down the values, your values along with the organizational values, because you need to have a balance of these two things as you engage with your people. So I'll give you an example. In the moment, values matter the most. Over time, policies and procedures create consistency and equity. So if you are having a situation where somebody needs support in the moment, whether or not they've been great at attendance or bad at attendance over time, if something is going on right now and they need support, you want to look to the values to be able to support them in the moment, provide them with empathy, and make sure they are good. Now, over time, whether it's a week or 2 weeks, you want to look back at the policies and procedures and have that conversation with them as well. Because again, I always look at things, and I've had it over time where somebody, maybe they have, you know, attendance issues or things that are going on. They just can't make it to work. There's no real reason as to why they shouldn't be there. They're just not prioritizing their job and their career. And then they get sick, and they really get sick. Well, I'm going to make sure that I show them empathy and that they feel better, they get well, and they're able to return to work. Now, once they come back to work and they're well, I'm still going to have a conversation with them about attendance. And we're still going to have dialogue around that type of thing. So it really is a balance. But I think for leaders, it is important to understand which one you're leveraging when. And in the moment, the values are the ones that really should pop up the most. Because if they don't, and in the example of the show today, If the values didn't show up when she called to say she was going to be late because of her child at school, and it was about policy, says, well, the schedule says you're supposed to be here at 9. I doubt we would have seen the LinkedIn message, or if we saw it, it would have sounded very different and probably not so positive.
Yeah, I think that's a fantastic one-minute hack. I think that what underlies a lot of this is that in many organizations, the leaders consider themselves working a career, and the line level or other employees that report up to them, it might not be a career, it might be a job, a stepping stone to something else, something that is that they view as temporary. And no one ever has the same level of commitment to something that they in their own minds believe is temporary as a person who believes this is a career for them. And I think where a lot of leaders have a tough time is they start to judge people, their employees, for not having the same level of commitment to their job that they themselves have to their career. And when a person doesn't have that same commitment to their job, it shows up in things like, this is more important to me, I'm not going to come in today, or, you know, I'm gonna call out sick when I'm not really sick, or, you know, whatever it is. I have school, and that's the most important thing, and I forgot to change my availability because I was procrastinating and I didn't do it in time, and now all of a sudden the schedule has been made and it doesn't fit with my availability, so now I'm coming to you, the leader, to say, sorry, this doesn't fit, and I'm not going to be here. And it's like, where was your commitment? Why didn't you change your availability when you had the opportunity to? We've been talking about this for the last 2 months, and it's like, at the end of the day, what the answer is it wasn't important to me. It wasn't important to me because school was what was important to me, or whatever it was. If you're a leader of people, to expect your people to have the same level of commitment to their job that you have to your career is setting yourself up for frustration and failure every single time. Meet people where they are. Understand that you don't show the same level of commitment in your life to the things that are not important to you. That's what it is to them. You'll get people who work hard for you for the times that they do want to put that effort in, or that they're going to be there. And then when they move on to something else, they'll have nothing but good things to say about you, and they will be an advocate for your brand and your company's brand, as opposed to someone who walks away thinking that that they were right and you were wrong and you're a terrible leader.
Absolutely. And with that, it brings us to the end of this episode. This is Hacking Your Leadership. I'm Lorenzo.
And I'm Chris.
And we'll talk to you all next time.